In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has descended from heaven to earth. So in the Ascension that we just celebrated 10 years ago, or 10 years ago, 10 days ago, it's been a long week on the retreat, we said that the Holy Spirit, Christ has ascended from earth to heaven, and then on Pentecost, we say the Holy Spirit has descended from heaven to earth, so it's just the opposite. So throughout his life and ministry, our Lord did everything he could for our benefit and to help us achieve salvation. And each of the great events in the life of Christ and the Mother of God are like milestones that are reflected in the 12 great feasts, and then of course the Feast of Feasts, which is the resurrection of Christ that we celebrate at Pascha. And the entire framework of the church's liturgical year lays out sort of a spiritual path for us to follow. And this is a great blessing for us as Christ's disciples. St. Gregory the Theologian once said that with the Ascension, the works of Christ while in the flesh finish, or rather the works relating to his physical sojourn on earth. And now, at Pentecost, the works of the Spirit commence. So following the Lord's glorious resurrection at Pascha, those 50 days were in preparation for today, for the Feast of Pentecost. In the Vesper service for the Feast of Pentecost, there's the following line, which is very interesting, which is, it says, "Of old the tongues were confounded because of the audacity in the building of the tower, but now the tongues are made wise because the glory of divine knowledge. There God condemned the impious because of their offense, and here Christ hath enlightened the fishermen by the Spirit. At that time, the confusion of tongues was wrought for punishment, and now the concord of tongues hath been inaugurated for the salvation of our souls." So many of the Holy Fathers see a parallel between Pentecost, in which the Holy Spirit descended, the apostles were able to speak in all these different languages, and everybody could receive that Holy Spirit, and then all those souls could be baptized. Whereas in the Tower of Babel, back in the day, the problem with that, the reason why God was not pleased with that, is because it was to the glory of man. You know, they were trying to build this tower, and what a great achievement. It's going to go all the way up to the heavens and all this. You know, they didn't need God. And so God said, fine, you know, then we'll make everybody have different tongues. They won't be able to understand each other. And won't be able to get the tower built. Because, it was to glorify, in a sense, their own egos or the works of man. And so, but now God sends down this Holy Spirit that unites everyone, regardless of the tongues. In fact, sometimes it's, you know, many of us have had this experience where we've met someone who we don't even speak the same language, but we're all Christians, and we have this rapport where we can kind of, you know, feel that we're together and one with that person, even though we can't really speak to them in their same language. Well, here we see the love of God for us and how he works to bring about the redemption of our race of mankind. And it's now possible for us to be united by the power of the Holy Spirit, regardless of the differences of race or ethnic background. And yet the unity of the Spirit does not mean necessarily uniformity, since everyone has different gifts. As it says in 1 Corinthians 12, "Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. But all these worketh that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will." So we receive different gifts, and that's to the glory of God. You know, in the creation, we go out and we see flowers. What if they were all red? You know, I mean, that would not be so beautiful. But we have yellow ones and blue ones and red ones and, you know, all kinds of different colors. And it's this beautiful array. And so that's like the gifts of the Holy Spirit. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit at our baptism, and yet we find that remaining in the grace of the Holy Spirit is not so easy. It's not really automatic. And this is because of our fallen nature that we have to struggle with. So as St. Paul wrote in Romans 7, "For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, so that with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. So here St. Paul describes our fallen condition. Our flesh, you know, our fallen nature has these passions. You know, we naturally just want to seek comfort and pleasure, and, you know, and all those, and we're kind of maybe a little lazy. We just want to eat and drink, you know. But, you know, our minds and our hearts want to do higher things. We want to do noble things. We want to do good and be virtuous, you know. So there's this tension going on in our life, this struggle between those two things. And that is why, precisely, God gave us the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to reconcile those two opposite things and give us the strength to overcome those passions. St. Seraphim of Sarov once said that the purpose of earthly life is the acquisition of the Holy Spirit. And then there's a book that was written by that same title, The Acquisition of the Holy Spirit, by Professor I.M. Konsevich. And he goes on to say that the grace of the Holy Spirit purifies, sanctifies, and transfigures human nature. Man's will alone is insufficient to effect this. But without an effort on his part, grace does not accomplish man's salvation. What is necessary is the cooperation or synergy of man's free will and divine grace. So they have to be together, those two things working together. He says, not everyone can attain spiritual heights, you know, in other words, this intense life of the saints. We read about saints, and they walked on water, and they cast out demons, and healed the lepers, and paralyzed, and everything. And, you know, that doesn't necessarily mean that that's what God is expecting us to do. You know, we may have a different calling, you know. But he does desire salvation for all of us. God's infinite love calls everyone to partake of the feast of his glory. The most modest worker who received one talent and walked the path of his life in repentance and humility is welcomed into his Father's arms. It is never too late to enter the path of repentance. And as St. John Chrysostom said in his famous Paschal sermon that we read each year, if any has tarried even until the 11th hour, let him also not be alarmed at his tardiness. For the Lord, who is jealous of his honor, will accept the last even as the first. He giveth rest unto him who cometh at the 11th hour, even as unto him who hath wrought from the first hour. And he showeth mercy upon the last, and careth for the first. And to the one he giveth, and upon the other he bestoweth gifts. And he both accepteth the deeds, and welcometh the intentions, and honoreth the acts, and praiseth the offerings. So in other words, we don't have to worry that, oh no, you know, I should have done maybe this or that, or I should be praying 24/7, or, you know, spending all my time, you know. Well, no, just know that God welcomes us all, no matter what our state of affairs is. Just come to him and he'll help us out. So whenever we pray, when we fast, when we do a good work, the Lord is ready to help us, but especially when we prepare for and partake of Holy Communion, God will fill us then with the grace of the Holy Spirit, because we know that God expresses through what could be called his energies, which really is through the Holy Spirit, and these come to us through the sacraments. So communion, baptism, you know, confession, the sacraments of marriage, and the ordinations of bishops and priests and monks and nuns, and holy unction, the blessed oil. And so all these things we find that are portals for us, as it were, sort of a bridge to from earth to heaven, in which we receive the grace of the Holy Spirit, because that's how God establishes church upon the earth and filled it with the Holy Spirit. And today at Pentecost is literally the birthday of the church. This is really literally when Christ said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it, back there in that first century. Today, Pentecost is the day in which that was started. You know, and then those apostles baptized 3,000 people and they went out unto all the world. And so even though we try to acquire this grace of the Holy Spirit and do good, sometimes we might stumble and fall, you know, but let us never cease in this struggle against our fallen nature, against the world which tries to distract us, and against the evil one who sends us temptations. And let us call upon the name of the Lord, that his strength may be perfect in our weakness, and with his help that we may be victorious and acquire the life-giving grace of the all-Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has descended.